This isn't a side ministry. We are all on this journey together. This is about us as a church. We all need freedom from our hurts, habits, and hang-ups so we can better look, live, and love like Jesus.
Did you hear their hearts? It's not a side ministry. It's a journey we share together. It's about us as a church. We all need freedom from our hurts, habits, and hang-ups so we can better look, live, and love like Jesus. Annie and Ron, Kristen and Michael, thank you. Your courage is unleashing the Spirit of God in a new way here. And by the way, this video was produced by one of our high school students here in Mantegna. Celebrate recovery. God's doing something very special. He wants to take us to that place of debt-free living in all of our relationships, beginning with those relationships most important. That means we first have to begin by forgiving those who have hurt us. Research suggests that the most unhealthy emotions are resentment, anger, and bitterness. Tough to argue with. S.I. McMillan, a medical doctor, wrote years ago, the two greatest causes of physical problems in life are guilt and resentment. Put another way, it's not so much what you eat, but what eats you. What's eating at your hearts, my friends? When churches fail, when families fail, when marriages fail, it's seldom because of an outside force that overcomes them, but when churches or families or marriages fail, it's so often because of a broken relationship. And our God of unfailing love calls us to a place where we can be healed. We're about to look at these verses, and I pray that you'll hear the desperate urgency of the Apostle Paul as he's speaking to the heart of this fragile young church in Ephesus. Here's what he said. Get rid of all of it. Take it out like the garbage and don't let the stink back in. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Get rid of it, take it out, and don't let it back. And instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven us. Why is it so important to forgive those who have hurt us? Why? Because our God of unfailing love has forgiven us. Remember, the Apostle Paul said in Colossians 3, remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. The nature of God's people is that we don't hold grudges. We'll never have to forgive someone more than God has forgiven us. People who feel forgiven find it easier to forgive. Those who are struggling with their own forgiveness find it harder to forgive others. Why do we forgive those who have hurt us? Because resentment and anger and bitterness don't work. Job chapter 5, the Bible says, to worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish and senseless thing to do. We should sit up and take note when the Bible warns us that we're acting like a fool. To worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. You see, resentment hurts us far more than it hurts the object of our resentment. Resentment, anger, and bitterness, it puts us in the self-imposed prison while the other person walks free. Resentment and anger and bitterness, it can't change the past, doesn't correct the problem, doesn't punish anyone but ourselves. We need to forgive those who have hurt us. Why? Because we need God's forgiveness. Mark chapter 11, red letters, the words of Jesus. He said, Roger, when you're praying, if there's anybody you haven't forgiven yet, I'm going to call a timeout. I'm just going to interrupt you right in the middle of your prayer, Roger. If there's anybody you've not yet forgiven, anybody that needs your forgiveness, you need to go and ask their forgiveness. I'm just going to shut down your prayer momentarily while you take the time to go and fix it. Here's what the Word says. But when you're praying, first, forgive anyone who's holding a grudge against you. Forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too, Roger. You see, the Bible says, Roger, you can't get what you're unwilling to give. Forgiveness. Our God of unfailing love will forgive you and me as much as we are willing to forgive others. Forgiveness is a two-way street. God forgives us, and then He invites us to share this forgiveness. We forgive those who have hurt us. Why? Because forgiveness is one of the primary characteristics of God's people trying to look, live, and love like Jesus. How do we do this? How does this happen that we can forgive those who have caused the greatest pain in our lives? Well, we first have to begin by acknowledging, it really helps if we begin by acknowledging our own hurts, habits, and hang-ups. I can't get over the hurts, habits, and hang-ups in your life unless I'm ready to deal with my own hurts, habits, and hang-ups. That takes me to a place where it's easier to realize that God makes it possible to love those who have done us wrong. What are the options? We can try and repress it, swallow it, push it back down. Did you ever have a moment when you found yourself overreacting? And then you said, why did I say that? Where did all of that emotion come from? You see, when we swallow and repress and push down all of those emotions, they will come back to the surface, and it's not a matter of if, but when. We can't repress it. There's no closure without disclosure. We need to acknowledge our hurts, habits, and hang-ups and face our pain. How do we forgive those who have hurt us? Well, we have to release the offender. Forgiveness doesn't mean you forget. Forgiveness means you release. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting. It means releasing. Releasing the anger, the resentment, the bitterness. We stop holding on to the pain and the hurt, and we offer them forgiveness as God has forgiven us. We don't have to wait for them to ask forgiveness. We forgive them for our sake, not theirs. Resentment, anger, and bitterness just makes us more miserable. And remember, my friends, it's important to keep in mind that forgiveness is not a one-time event. They came to Jesus and said, forgiveness, oh yeah, I got that covered, I did that already. I did it once, I'm good, I can check that box, right, Lord? And the Lord says, well, Roger, I'm not so sure that one time is going to cover it. Well, how many times do I have to forgive them, Lord? And He said, well, how about 70 times 7? And somebody like me started doing the math. Well, I've forgiven them twice already. That means I've only got 488 more times. Wow, that's a lot. And Jesus says, Roger, you still don't get it. 70 times 7 was symbolic of a boundless, endless, continual spirit of forgiveness. We never stop forgiving one another. How do we know when we've really forgiven someone? How do we know when we've really reached that point of not forgetting but releasing them in forgiveness? Well, one indicator is that we can think of them without our hearts and minds being filled with pain. Another indicator that we have truly forgiven someone, we reach a point where we can begin to pray blessing over them. An indicator that we have truly reached a place of forgiveness. When we try and understand the hurt that caused them to bring hurt to us. The hurt in their life that brought hurt to our life. Sometimes it's not possible to go back to the person we need to forgive. They may have passed on. They might not be living. There may be other good reasons why we don't go back to them. Sometimes it's good to use an empty chair. Imagine an empty chair. You find a trusted, godly friend. You invite them to join you, and you talk to the empty chair as if that person was there. Sometimes it's not advisable to go back to the one who has hurt us. That old boyfriend or girlfriend might now be married and in a place of blessing, and the worst thing we could do is to go back and bring harm to what God is doing in their lives today, so we speak to the empty chair. Sometimes it would be helpful to maybe put it down on the computer, start writing it down on the page, but promise me you won't send it and you won't post it on social media. But letting God set us free that we might forgive them. How do we forgive them? We ask a God of unfailing love to take the pain and to fill us with peace. Colossians 3, let the peace that comes from Jesus rule in your hearts. Don't give him a closet. Don't give him just an hour a day. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let God settle the score so that we can find peace as God becomes their judge. But there's another side to debt-free living in our relationships. We need to forgive those who have hurt us, but we also need to be willing to seek out those that we might have harmed because of our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and seek their forgiveness. John Perkins, Dr. John Perkins, one of the most admired men by those who know him. I encourage you to go back and research this man. Read some of his writings. He said, we live our call most fully when we are a community of faith with our arms wrapped around a community of pain. We live out our call most fully when we are a community of faith wrapped around a community of pain. So, my friends, what God is asking of us this morning in this moment, is there anyone carrying unnecessary pain inflicted by our hurts, habits, and hang-ups? At home, at work, in class, in the pew. Anyone carrying unnecessary pain inflicted by our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Don't let the root take hold and grow. Why? When churches fail, when families fail, when marriages fail, it's almost never because of an outside force overcoming it, but when churches and families and marriages fail, when friendships fail, it's because of these broken relationships left untended, when God of grace wants to pour his love and heal the broken places. Unresolved broken relationships are the root of our problem every time. Unresolved broken relationships prevent recovery from our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. What's that look like in real life? How does it happen? How should we acknowledge those who are carrying unnecessary pain because of our hurts, habits, and hang-ups? Sometimes it's really simple. Do you have anybody you owe some money to? You haven't paid a debt? Anybody you made a promise to that you haven't fulfilled? Is there anyone in your life that you're over-controlling? Is there anyone in your story that you're just hypercritical of? They can never do anything right. Anyone that you've lied to? Anyone you've been abusive to verbally, to their face, behind their back? Abusive to them emotionally, God forbid, physically? Jesus calls us to another way as he sets us free and invites us to this grace-filled place of debt-free living in all of our relationships. In the Bible, we call it the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. First of all, find the right time. Don't throw a grenade in the room and walk away. Find the right time, the best time for them. Find the right time and find the right attitude. Speak the truth in a spirit of love. Go in prayed up, full of God's presence. This is what I did. This is why it was wrong. Please forgive me. I have no excuses. By the way, parents of children that are young, parents of children who have children, our children don't need perfect parents. But they long for parents who know what to do when they've done wrong. This is what I did. This is why it was wrong. Please forgive me. I have no excuses. Pick the right time. Pick the right words. And then find the right restitution. If you promise to pay it back, pay it back. If it's a tool you borrowed, return it. The more serious our offense, the more difficult our restitution. But don't underestimate the power of a most sincere apology. Find the right words. The Proverbs say that thoughtless words can wound deeply. Speak without anger and bitterness. Speak without a desire to judge and punish them. Seek forgiveness unless you feel checked by the Spirit of God that doing so would harm them or others. Some situations shouldn't be revisited. If you're unsure, seek counsel. Talk to your pastor, somebody in Celebrate Recovery, your small group, your Sunday class. Don't go back if it'll reopen old wounds and make things worse. Your old boyfriend or girlfriend is now married and God's blessing them. Let them move on with blessing. Talk to the empty chair. Write it down, but please don't send it or post it on social media. Anyone here this morning that longs for the joy of debt-free living in our relationships? Anyone wanting the help of a God of unfailing love, pouring grace so that he can repair the relationships in our lives, beginning with the most important relationships around us? Your family, your friends, your neighborhood, your pew. God is inviting us to refocus our lives. To live in secrecy is to live in darkness. We're made to be fully known, and it's only when we live fully open and vulnerable that we can receive the depths of God's love for us. It's only in being fully known and real that we receive the immensity of God's love for us. But beware, our culture values perception over reality. And so we work tirelessly to create a perfect image that requires us to constantly be covering up who we really are. And the greater our facade, the less we are truly known and loved. To be fully loved is to be fully known. So don't focus on the past. Don't focus on the pain. Don't focus on the person who caused your pain. Focus on Jesus, his love, his forgiveness, and his peace. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. It's one of the miracles of our faith. It's a miracle of grace. It's a miracle that our God of unfailing love makes available to each one of us. One of the things I love about Celebrate Recovery is that it reminds us not to quit until the miracle happens. Forgiveness. Don't quit until the miracle happens. This morning, our God of unfailing love is inviting us to evaluate the relationships in our lives, and he's inviting us to dare to begin with the most important relationships he has entrusted to us. And he's calling us and inviting us by his strength, the miracle of grace, to forgive those who have hurt us the most and to seek forgiveness from those that we might have hurt through our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. This morning, worship team, would you be so kind to come on back? I'm about to close. I'll pray. They'll sing, and God's Spirit will continue speaking into our hearts. As we close this morning, I'm asking God to bring two faces in front of us. The first face. Is there anybody that God is saying, Roger, it's time to lay down your anger and your resentment and your bitterness. It's time to forgive them. But God says it's time. Would you like to know the joy of debt-free living? Ask God to put the face in front of you of the one he most wants you to forgive now for the hurt they brought into your life. A second face. Is there anybody, family, friend, neighbor, or pew, is there anybody carrying unnecessary pain because of a hurt habit or hang-up in our lives that God wants us to go and seek forgiveness from. If God puts one or both of these faces in front of you, what will you do? And when will you do what God is asking of you now? I pray that we together will know the joy of debt-free living as God heals those relationships in our lives. Father, do it now. Speak into our hearts. We'll sing this song. May we hear your voice. And if there are any faces we need to see that you want to send us to, speak now as we open our hearts to your unfailing love. In Jesus' name, amen.